From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I'm Chase Palm. We're going to bring to you a recording of our live show last night at Funky's on the Oxford Square. Romero Miller, Neil McCready, and myself, for a little over an hour, discussed a lot of different things, including the Ole Miss program right now, Romero's career, and then kind of got into what Neil has talked about earlier in the week as far as Romero being one of the most important recruits in Ole Miss history. So we had a great time there, great crowd as well. A couple of trivia questions were answered courtesy of LB's Meat Market, Clark Ford in Amory, and of course Blue Delta Jeans, which does our trivia question every single week for our live shows. We'll be there every single Thursday this football season, this fall, until the end of the semester. So come on out when you get a chance. But today is the recording of the show with Romero last night. Again, appreciate everybody coming out. Before we get to that, I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's Free Gas Friday, so go on over, follow the Oxford Exxon on Twitter, be witty, be clever. I can even win a free tank of gas for the weekend with the Oxford Exxon. They also have lunch specials, ribs, daiquiris, and much more there. And again, I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900. Highway 25 South in Amory is the address. You give Corey a call, you get a quote in as little as 15 minutes during business hours. No haggling. Take the quote, shop it around, take the quote, and buy your vehicle. And when you're done with the negotiator, not really negotiating, just getting close to signing those papers, mention the podcast, $500 off if you do that with Clark Ford. So appreciate all of you guys again. Here is myself, Neil, and Romero. Have a good Friday.
Welcome to our second week here at Funky's on the Oxford Square. Romero Miller joining us today, former Ole Miss quarterback. If you're not here tonight today, you'll hear about this on Friday morning, as we always put the recording up as the Friday podcast. You're missing $2 domestics, $12 large pizzas, and $4 margaritas, the specials here at Funky's. So take advantage of those. Romero waiting on a drink. It's not exactly Jay Tate, but we'll get something going here in a minute with him as he gets some alcohol going. Neil McCready on the end, and then Romero first. We got two trivia questions. Later on, we'll get to the Blue Delta trivia question, which they're going to give away a $200 gift certificate to Blue Delta if anybody in here gets it. If somebody doesn't get it, we'll allow someone on the show in the morning to answer it as well, the first one. But I got one for you first. This coming from Corey Clark of Clark Ford in Amory.
The winner of this, by the way, gets a $40 gift certificate to LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Chicago.
Chicago? Really?
No, not in Chicago. In Oxford.
So if anyone can answer this in here.
It's not even a greatest spot in the South yet.
Yeah, so $40 gift card to anyone that can answer this. Romero, the subject of this. What was Romero Miller's record in high school against Amory High School? If Romero was at Shannon, what was his record against Amory? The first question that we'll give tonight. Anybody can answer that. $40 gift card to LB's Meat Market. Romero, good afternoon. Good to have you. Are you you going to hang in with us after that question there?
I don't know, man, but I'm good to go. I'm ready.
All right, fair enough. You've been all over the world lately. You've been traveling, going around. I follow you on Instagram and Twitter and different things. You've gotten into State Farm. Start out with there. Where can people find you with State Farm if they want to give you a call?
Well, my office is located in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We're online. We're everywhere. 662-893-1212. We cover Mississippi, Tennessee, so we can knock all your homeowners, life insurance, all this stuff out.
All right, so there it is. What's your favorite place over the calendar year? You've been to Vegas? I've been seeing you in pools and stuff. I don't know if you've been doing any work or not, because you've been doing everything else.
No, we're working hard, but my favorite trip this summer, probably Vancouver. We went up, spent a week up there, and, man, that's a gorgeous, pretty town.
So Neil pointed out, let's start here, because the other day on the podcast, we told everybody you were going to come on this week, and Neil said that you might be the most important recruit in Ole Miss football history. He said that the other day. He said that class that came in right after probation, right there, kind of getting things back going in the mid to late 90s, Where do you kind of see that? Take me through that a little bit. When did Ole Miss first come on your radar, and kind of how did that come about there in 95, 96?
You know, for me, I think the most important recruit back then was Rufus French. Rufus French, he had a chance to go all over the country. And I tell people, he came when Ole Miss was on probation. And we came out the next year. And just to have Rufus from Amory, which is 20 minutes from me, had a chance to go to Notre Dame, Southern Cal, Miami, literally every school in the country. So he came the year before, and he the one kind of made it okay to come to Ole Miss. And so when we came out, you know, I came on my visit. Rufus, my host, I knew a lot about him, and we all knew Rufus. And I tell people, man, this one guy, man, I wish they would just bring back, put him at the 50-yard line, let him throw up his hand, let the people cheer him on, which I know they'll do one day. But, you know, everybody say, you know, he should have came back. But, you know, the way I look at it, it was a personal decision. He made his choice. But he loved Ole Miss to death. And I talked to him. He talking about his sons playing football. And, you know, hopefully one day I'll be over here. But, no, Rufus was the guy. And me, Deuce, Ken Lucas, that Terrence Metcalf, that group right there, man, we wouldn't have came if it wasn't for Rufus.
You're being kind of modest, though. I mean, I'm with you on the Rufus French thing. He was an awfully important recruit. But you were a parade All-American. You were a quarterback. You could have gone most anywhere. And the truth is, early in your high school career, this was before the internet. This was before things went viral. You kind of went viral by word of mouth. People would come out and see you play because they had heard about you through word of mouth, not through the internet. You could have gone to a lot of places that at the time were certainly winning at a bigger level than Ole Miss. And while you're right about Rufus, and I covered his recruiting when I was at the Oxford Eagle. I was just a kid then. It was before I really even started my career. You're right about Rufus, but Rufus didn't have that same sort of cachet.
He played tight end. He wasn't a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, whether he should have or shouldn't have is another debate entirely, but he wasn't a quarterback. And you could have gone to a lot of places, and I don't think, from everything I heard, early in your career, you were really thinking about Ole Miss. Nah. When you went to Ole Miss, it sort of changed the way that program was viewed.
Right. Well, growing up in Mississippi, I always thought, you know what, I just want to get out of the state. I just want to do something different. But as I was going through the recruiting process, I got to thinking, you know, I want to do something in my home state. I want to build something, you know, for my people. And the way I look at it, you know, we didn't get championships. We didn't make it that far. But I feel like we laid the groundwork for when we left, the Eli class and them, they came and took over. And so I do remember Coach Cutcliffe, he always used to say program builders. And I feel like we were the class program builders because we got Ole Miss back on TV. Because during that time, with the probation, you wasn't allowed to be on TV. And that's one thing that we took pride in. And, you know, looking at, you know, the class that we're going to sign this year, they kind of – back to where we were. They're going to be the program builders to get the whole deal turned around and wish those guys luck.
So what was your recruiting like? Who were you? Who was in it early? What was kind of the deal there? Take me through it a little bit.
You know, at first, I was looking at Auburn. Yeah, because back then they had Terry Bowden, and I went to the Bowden Academy. I don't know if you was there during that time, but that was
– I was in Alabama. Yeah. I can remember it, yeah. Yeah. Alabama recruited you really hard, too.
Yeah, they did. But – at first, I was like, you know, I'm going to Auburn because they had the Bowden Academy. And that's where, like, a lot of the top high school quarterbacks, they would go to camp. And then after they signed, I think, Jason Stanridge, who actually went to play baseball professionally. And then after that, I'll never forget, I went on my official visit to Alabama, me and Terrence Metcalf and myself. Uh-huh. And, man, they took us through the Bear Bryant Museum. And they showed all the trophies and the plaques and all this. And I remember me and Terrence, we looked at each other. And I said, Terrence, we're coming to Alabama. And Terrence looked at me like, Ro, if you're going to Alabama, I'm coming too. And so back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones. So we left Alabama. The next week, I was coming to Oxford on my visit. And Terrence was going to Tennessee. And so I came to Oxford, and I just fell in love. I'm like, you know what? This is the place. I want to do something at home. The scary part for me was we didn't have cell phones at the time, and I committed to Ole Miss, and I didn't talk to Terrence to see if he was going to go to Alabama still, or if he was going to come with me to Oxford. And so when I committed, the day he was committing, I was more nervous than anybody because I had no idea, you know, what school he was going to pick. And man, when he picked Ole Miss and picked Oxford, man, they made my heart kind of be at ease a little bit because, you know, I didn't know where he was going to go.
Educated opinion. It's pretty educated that Terrence Metcalf and Deuce McAllister both don't go to Ole Miss if you don't.
That was a pretty good guess. Yeah. Pretty good guess.
How did you kind of get to know them? I mean, because today is social media and it's camps when they're sophomores and different things. So what was sort of your relationship with Deuce and Terrence and those guys not being from the same school? And as you said, no cell phones even.
It was totally different back then because the first time I met Terrence was on our visit to Alabama. And that was in January back then.
Yeah, see, this is my point.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do this modest thing the entire night, and that's cool. I get it. I would do the same thing.
No, you wouldn't. You bragged about a Peloton person talking about your name yesterday.
Jennifer Jacobs shouted out my name, yeah, man.
The wrong Jennifer Jacobs.
I mean, look at this. My groupies are not female. I mean, Jennifer Jacobs said hello to me.
I'm aware.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Women don't talk to me. I mean, a good-looking woman said hello to me at 5:55 in the morning. That was a big thing in my life.
All right, go ahead.
Terrence Metcalf knew who you were. That's my point. Yeah. You guys didn't have Instagram. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Facebook. It wasn't like kids now. These kids now all know each other. It's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's good. They all go to camps together, and they know each other, and they get each other's cell phone numbers. My son's 11 years old. He's got 50 friends that he knows their Instagram stuff, and they keep up with one another. You guys didn't have that. Nope. He knew who you were.
Right.
So he meets you in Tuscaloosa. I mean, Terrence Metcalf's a future NFL offensive lineman. He meets you in Tuscaloosa, and he goes, hey, man, if you go here, I'm going here.
Yep.
That's kind of my point. You had a cachet that was built up over the years that was significant. When you went to Ole Miss, I mean, I knew Tommy Tuberville. I know Tommy. When you went to Ole Miss, it was a program changer.
Right.
He viewed it as it's going – because I can remember the day that Terrence Metcalf committed to Ole Miss. One of the things that I said to Tuberville that time, I was like, hey, congratulations. And he goes, man, it's got to get easier than this. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, it's so hard. We worked so hard to get this one commitment. And, I mean, just keeping this real, I mean, that's one of the things we do on this podcast – you were this highly recruited African-American kid from Mississippi that before you, those types of kids who fit that description, didn't go to Ole Miss. And you did. It changed. It made it easier for other kids to do it. And I understand what you're saying about Rufus, and he was a big deal, but he wasn't a quarterback.
Right.
Any comment?
They should retire your jersey number.
I'm not saying that, but no.
I'm saying it. They should retire your jersey number.
Like I said, back during that time, we didn't have a way to communicate. But I will tell you a story. Back to what you're referring to that, I will never forget. You got to think the week before I was going to Alabama. And, you know, we used to have the Danny Dozen, and they still had the 10 most wanted.
Yeah.
And the number six guy was Rufus Brown from Humphrey County, Belzona, Mississippi.
Yeah, I remember him.
And I never forget. The Alabama week, he called me. He said, "Ro, where are you going to school?" And I said, "Man, I'm probably going to Alabama." And so the next week, he go to North Carolina, and he commits to North Carolina. And so a couple of weeks, you know, then when I committed, I called Rufus. I'm like, "Hey, man, come on, let's go to Ole Miss." And it was too late then. But you know, back during that time, I was thinking, man, if I were committed the week before, we would have Rufus Brown, who was a top 5 to 6 player in the state. And it kind of worked out good for us because, you know, we still got Deuce. But back then in high school, Rufus was actually rated higher through a lot of publication than Deuce was. And this was one we missed out on just because I just didn't know where I was going.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Deuce was going to be a linebacker.
Yeah.
It probably could have been if he'd wanted to be.
Yeah.
Did you base your decision much on Rufus and Joe and some of those guys that you knew from the area at the time at all?
Rufus and Joe now made it easier.
Okay.
They made it easier. Let me say that. Just because I had a guy not from my hometown, but close to my hometown in the same position that could have went anywhere in the country. And so, like I said, it would have been a lot differently if Rufus wouldn't have been there.
I want to talk about your career a little bit before we start talking about some of the things maybe that I want to get your thoughts on Jordan Tamu and maybe some of the quarterbacks that are out there now. Your career was pretty interesting because you start in one system with, I know you and Noel Mazzone were really close, and they leave shortly after kind of your career gets started, and then a completely different system comes in. How much of an adjustment was it for you from the Tommy Tuberville, Noel Mazzone system to the David Cutcliffe sort of pro-style system? And I know that you looked at Tennessee coming out of high school, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were kind of a big Peyton Manning fan. Yep. He was a little older than you.
Yep. You know, when I picked Ole Miss, I came because of Tuberville and his offense. In high school, we ran four wide receivers. We didn't huddle. It was more kind of up-tempo. You know, spread out. We spread you out and throw the ball all over the field. And so when I came to Oxford, our base set was three receivers, one tight end who was Rufus, which was essentially a tight end. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much just like I played with in high school. And then when Cutcliffe came in, man, that was the first time where I had a fullback in an eye with two receivers. So it was a totally different deal. But I will say this, you hear coaches all the time say, I got to get my guys in. And when I hear coaches say that, I kind of understand what they're talking about. Yeah, because the systems and quarterback, they fit so differently and depending on what system you're playing in.
Take a break in our interview with Romero on the Square to tell you that Oxford Wine and Spirits, conveniently located close to campus on College Hill Road and next to the new Lost Pizza, should be your place to buy wine and spirits. Noah and I shop there regularly. Nothing comes into the store unless it's tasted first and the price has to be at below what they believe it should be. For example, something may taste pretty good, but the price does not have value. It does not come into the store. Everyday price is 5% lower than industry standards. Finally, if a podcast listener goes into the store to stock up for the weekend, they can get additional 5% off wine, 10% off liquor if they spend $150 or more and say they heard about it on the podcast. And when you go to town this year, make sure Oxford Wine and Spirits is your stop to stock up. Also, the Mid-South growing faster than ever, so let Stacy Berry connect you with the real estate option of your dreams, whether it's downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Stacy Berry, the name to know in Memphis, Keller Williams, the number one real estate agency in the world, with number one in agents, units sold, and volume sold. And the Berry home team is now an integral part of that world-renowned brand. So if you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollar. Looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, the Berry home team is the place to know. And let Stacy unlock Memphis for you, 901-481-6420. Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com and theberryhometeam.com. That's Stacy with an E, the name to know in Memphis. Also, once you get the real estate out of the way, Community Mortgage can help you out. Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old, and one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, a leader in condo financing and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Also, if you want to take the hassle out of stocking your locker or suite on this game day season, whether it be Vault Hemingway, the Pavilion, or Swayze Field, Locker Stockers is the people to help you out with that. The customer places the order, and Locker Stockers handles purchase and delivery to your locker or suite before game day. So if you want to lock in that price before the season gets started, give them a call, 662-586-1487, or lockers info at lockerstockers.com. And then finally, the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com. They have a great app as well, and they're located in downtown Holly Springs. 662-252-2321 is the phone number to find out more about all their different options, including delivering wherever you are. Also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar. They have great local service and local delivery in the Oxford area. Now back to myself, Neil McCready and Romero Miller.
You mentioned guys now dealing with some of the same things that you dealt with. What was that change like being obviously hurt, but you get hurt against Georgia, you break a collarbone or whatever it was on the last play, and then David starts against State. But what is that week like when Neil knew Tuberville was leaving a week or two before it ends up getting published? Tommy asked him how he'd do at Auburn. What was sort of that week like? Did you guys know? I mean, take me through some of the thoughts that was going on
and
with that team.
And if you didn't know, how the hell did you not know?
Because you got to think, Neil, we didn't have Twitter. Like, we didn't have Twitter back then, though. You think about it. Like, now, everything happens 2 to 3 days before with Twitter, but we just didn't have it. And so we was in our cocoon. Like, the only message that we would get a lot of time was from the coaches. And
so you got on the sidelines the night of that Egg Bowl thinking Tommy Tuberville is going to be your coach the next season.
There was a lot of rumors, let me tell you.
Okay, well, yeah.
We had an idea.
Okay.
But
I was an Auburn beat writer, and I had to come to Oxford on Thanksgiving night for that game. I walked into the press box, and people that were on the Ole Miss beat were like, "Why are you here?" And I looked at him like, "Why the hell do you think I'm here? I mean, do you not believe what we've written?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah, he says he's not leaving." Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but you got to think of us being 18, 19. We're going to believe whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what he say, we were going to believe it. And I guess there's one that we should not have believed.
What was that next day like for you? I remember what it was like for me because it was a hustle day. But what was it like for you when you found out that they were all leaving?
It was shocking. I'm not going to say it was shocking, but I just remember waking up sometime during the day, and he was on the campus of Auburn taking a tour.
Yeah.
And it was all over the TV screen. And man, that was a
tour.
It was very interesting.
So when did you first kind of hear the name Cutcliffe? When did everything kind of come into focus on what was coming next?
I can't remember during that time, but I remember we had a meeting with Schaefer. He was the athletic director. Yeah. And we met with him, and he threw a couple of names out. We didn't know who it was going to be whatsoever. He probably wasn't listening to us anyway, but at least he gave us an ear. And, you know, next thing we know, a couple of weeks later, here come Cutcliffe.
So David Cutcliffe comes in. You knew him from Tennessee. He probably had some credibility with you because of what he had done.
Right.
You knew him from the recruiting trail a little bit. Did you just have no choice but to sort of buy in?
That's pretty much it. I mean, when you're a junior, I mean, and you're the starting quarterback, you know, what a choice do you have? I mean, I wasn't going to leave Deuce. I wasn't going to leave Terrence. Terrence wasn't going to leave me. So, I mean, we all we had. I mean, coaches leave, but the players, you know, the players 9 times out of 10, they're going to be there, and we was there.
Take me through I was an Auburn beat writer, but I remember the game vividly because I remember that week pretty vividly from their perspective. From your perspective, what was that week? I guess it was September of 99. You guys had lost to Vanderbilt the week before. It was a very disappointing loss at home. You go over to Auburn to face your former coaches. It was one of those Jefferson Pilot games where everybody who called the game was named Dave. You had to be named Dave to be on the broadcast crew. And you play this game that goes back and forth. It goes to overtime. If I remember right, you lost Charles Stackhouse early in the game. You guys win in overtime. What was that week like for you? What was that game like for you? Is it one that sort of sticks out in your memory?
It sticks out because I remember all summer, the Abner store here locally, they had the countdown to the Auburn game. So that game was built up. Not only in the locker room, around the town, and that's the one that we didn't want to lose. And, you know, going over to Jordan-Hare, that's a tough place to play. And it was an early game. If you're the road team in SEC, you always want to play in an early game before the crowd get liquored up a little bit. But, it was tough, man. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to go out there and win that game. All summer, when you're running sprints, you're thinking about it. And we just didn't want to see him run off that field smiling. But and we just couldn't have it. We gave it everything we had, and that day it was good enough for us.
Did you talk to Tommy that day at all?
Nah, I haven't talked to Tubb since he left.
Seriously.
Now I talked to some of the assistant coaches.
Which ones?
Mazzoni. I think the world of Mazzoni. Pananzio.
Yeah.
I think the world of Pananzio. Some of them I care less about. Greg Knox, I could care less about that guy, but you know some of them I like.
I'll give you a post game story. So I'm down on the field the last couple minutes of that game. You know how it is. You go down as a reporter. Reporters go down to the field about 5 minutes left in the game, which is the worst when a game goes to overtime because that's the part you're going to write about the overtime. That's all you're really going to write about.
And you're stuck. There's
and
no
you're
computer,
on the field
nothing,
and you can't see. And so the game ends. You guys scored. And Auburn got the ball after you and couldn't score. Yeah. And the game ends, and the field's a little chaotic, as most fields are at the end of a game. And Noel Mazzoni, who's a really good friend of mine, says to me, he's running around frantically, and I look at him, and we make eye contact, and he said, "Have you seen Romero?" And I happened to see you over to my right, just kind of right over there, and I said, "Noel, he's right there." And Noel was pretty upset. They'd lost their quarterback that game. That was a big loss for them. He runs over and finds you. It was one of those things I'll always remember. Nobody else, most of the people on that coaching staff got off the field as fast as they could. Noel Mazzoni said, I don't know what he said, but he went and spoke to several of you. I mean, he spent a lot of time with you after right. that game. And I always thought it was a really classy move on his part.
You know, Neil, I feel like Coach Mazzoni, he kind of reached out. Back then, my head recruiter was Red Knox. And I don't know if they mean head recruiter. That's the guy that be at your house every week, tear down your house, tear down your phone, and try to get you to come to Ole Miss. And it just killed me when he left. He didn't call. He didn't say bye. And he didn't say, I'm sorry. He just left. And that point, that's why I say I could care less about him, just because he was the guy that recruited me over here. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my opinion. I could care less about seeing him. Let me say that.
What was your relationship like with Cutcliffe in that first year, trying to get acclimated to everything? And is it played out in the first and second season?
Cutcliffe, it was totally different offense. We came together as a team. I think with my senior year, we lost four games by like 15 points or something like that. So we had our opportunities. We made it work. I mean, I love Cutcliffe to death. He's a great guy. System-wise, I think it was a little bit different for me. But, I mean, he's the best quarterback coach that I've been around.
It's 18 years later. Do you remember the wins, or do you remember some of those close losses that kept you guys from maybe something bigger in 2000 where you end up in the Music City Bowl instead of somewhere in Florida?
Man, I remember some of the losses, and I remember some of the wins. So the loss that I always remember, there was two. The Mississippi State, the kickball, and then Alabama my sophomore year in Tuscaloosa, where we had them and we just gave it up. But the wins, LSU, my sophomore year playing here in Oxford where they had Kevin Falk, those guys, and quite naturally Mississippi State your senior year.
Yeah, you mentioned that state game your junior year, I guess. It's over there. You've got a lead pretty late in the second half. For some reason, I had gone with a relative, and I was sitting in the middle of like the state student, I mean, not student, but the season ticket holder section, cowbells all around me and everything. And I recall you get the ball back, you end up throwing the ball, it bounces off Robert Bean's foot, gets picked off and goes down. Was the mindset just, hey, you know, because Cutcliffe typically was a pretty conservative coach, hey, what did you kind of see there to go, hey, we're going to go for it, we're going to try to get down the field and go get this thing done?
With this one right here, Chase, I didn't start telling this story till maybe like 2 years ago.
All right.
So if you think the year before we played against Georgia, and Georgia hurt me, and I sit out that game.
Yeah.
And so this year, the next year we played against Georgia, Georgia sprained my ankle. And so the day before the game, I got my ankle shot up.
Uh-huh.
And by me missing the previous year, that played into that game. Got my ankle taped. First half feeling perfect. Second half, I probably should have came out that game, but being a competitor, I stayed in. But needless to say, the play was designed. James was going to go deep, and I was supposed to throw that ball 70, 80 yards, just bang it way down the field.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at it, Jamie was about to close the cushion and run by the guy, and I was supposed to throw it deep, but I just couldn't get anything on it. I kind of underthrew it. It was kind of was a jump ball, kick ball, went up in the air, and, you know, the rest was history. That's one of those plays, man. I have bad memories about that. Man, as much as you want to, you know.
Do you almost think you should have come out? I mean, is that what's in your mind 19 years later?
That was a tough one. That was a tough call. But missing it the previous year, I would have got carried off that field. But I probably should have came to cut and say, you know what, let's change this play up because I can't physically do it, you know.
Yeah, you get down. I mean, you don't play in 98. You lose the game because of that in 99 and then 2000 in a pretty important game back in Oxford. You guys got down 16, 17, nothing early. You end up winning 45-30. Everybody remembers the pass from Deuce back to you. But what was kind of the significance of that game for you, given the fact of everything else in your career against Mississippi State?
Well, you wanted to – that was senior night. We wanted to go out and go out with a bang. Mississippi State – they came into it talking crap, and I just remember hearing Fred Smoot right now in my head, you know, talking the entire game. And, you know, a lot of those guys, they were from Mississippi, and it was going to be the last time that we played against them and played with our teammates. And we just wanted to leave a lasting memory on the field that night, and they jumped out on us at first. But I just feel like we had a great game plan. Coach Cutcliffe always had a great game plan against Jolie Dunn. And it was the same thing that night. I mean, we just came out a little slow, but once we got it going, we got it going.
Do you remember when the play was called to catch the pass? And, I mean, when it's in the air, you got to be thinking, just please God, don't drop it, right?
I wasn't going to drop it. I tell people, quarterback hands, we got the best hands on the team.
That's what Laramie Tunzel would say, too, for an offensive tackle. So.
Yeah, but we, like, no, literally. You got to think, Chase. Every day, we throwing the ball to each other, just catching. Like, we do that every day, you know? So, either I'm throwing it to David, even though it's not coming that fast, but we catch the ball a lot. But my biggest worry, and I tell Deuce, my biggest worry was, if Deuce going to get the ball to me? Because he didn't have the best motion. Now, I know they're doing a countdown to the game, so that play should be coming up
all right,
the next couple of days. But okay, watch his throwing motion when he throw me that ball, and you'll see why I'm scared that he wasn't going to get it to me.
Where is it going to show up in the countdown? Does it show up in the same place every year?
I can't remember that play. It was within the 15-yard line, I would think.
Okay.
So we're getting closer to kickoff time, so it should be coming up on Ole Miss Sports.
You look like you're looking for it a little bit over here.
If they don't put it up, I'm going to be mad.
You got to start making that play sound more dramatic. It should be like a 50-yard play with the game on the line, the last play of the game.
It was in my mind.
Change the story, man. Make it more dramatic.
You were over here yesterday. What was it like to act with those guys? Your commercial came out this morning on the online.
He's already asked for an Oscar on Twitter.
Yeah,
he feels good about it.
You and Jordan Tamu, although apparently you did not actually tape it together. It was a different segment.
No, me and Coach, we did ours together, and Jordan, he did his separately. But we knocked it out. It took us roughly 20 minutes. And I hope they don't show the bloopers, because we messed up a couple of times. But
you couldn't just walk and say three lines on camera?
Dude, they kept changing this up. And one time I started it off, and I went blank. Couldn't even remember what I was supposed to say. And we both had moments like that.
Then you get the hat that was like an in-house hat with the Finn M on it. You're getting me in trouble all week, because everybody keeps asking me, where's that hat? And I say, well, they just made it for Romero. That was it. He's the only one that has one.
No, they didn't make it for me. You know, I was trying to sneak my State Farm shirt in, but they gave me a new mascot shirt, so I was like, I'll take it.
We take a break from the show to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. And also, many of you have friends and or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are primarily worried about their credit scores. For those people, many times Gambrell and Associates refer their clients to Brian McLaurin, another advertiser on this podcast. Sometimes people find the easiest way to rebuild credit is similar to what the Cubs did. Tear it down, start over. This can be done by filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. Whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help make your decision on what is best for you. Check out Robert Gambrell on avvo.com, superlawyers.com, or give him a call, 662-281-8800. This podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Gene and Sandy have been with the website, the podcast, a long time. They're great people, great service, great product. You will love doing business with the people at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for and then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Now back to the podcast.
We have a winner on our trivia question.
All right.
Ronnie Pounders wins a $40 gift certificate to LB's Meat Market. The question, which was sponsored by Clark Ford in Amory,
yes,
was about Amory. You might suspect who gave us the ammunition for this question.
So Romero, what's the answer? What was your record against Amory in high school?
None. 0-4.
0-4.
Yep.
Do you remember the last game?
I do.
I have the score here. You remember the score?
I think it was like 30.
It was a field goal, wasn't it?
32 to... It was a two-point game, 32 to something?
30 to 28.
Okay, I knew it was something.
You like lost that. With 2 seconds left.
Yep, field goal.
You went on and won the state championship that year. Amory didn't.
Amory missed the playoffs at 10-1 that year. I know you were very upset.
We wanted to play Amory again, too, because our offense, we used to run four wide. And so it took time for us to get our timing down. And so I think we played them game number four. But once we lost to Amory – for the rest of the year, we was going like 50, 60, 70 points.
Bam, so you're bam, saying bam, had bam, you played bam, Amory bam. Later, you would have won the game?
I think our offense was clicking real good. And we never forget because y'all lost to Ripley.
Right.
And that pretty much knocked.
Y'all.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they lost to Ripley.
There's some Hatley trash talk up in here right now. There we go. Let's do that.
Yeah, that knocked them out, but we definitely, we feel real good. We feel real good that we could have got that one.
It's time for our other trivia question now from Blue Delta every single week. Again, the winner gets a $200 gift certificate. Since Archie Manning, there have been two quarterbacks that have led Ole Miss to three straight bowl games. You tweet that at me or Neil right now. You, the first one can win that. Name the two quarterbacks that have led Ole Miss to three straight bowl games as a starter since Archie Manning. So Romero, you don't get a pick. You're over here thinking. You don't get to go in on that.
I think
one.
I'm ready. I know.
Yeah.
Don't answer out loud. You'll ruin everything. You can't win.
But speaking of, what was it like? I mean, that last season, obviously, he makes his debut in the West Virginia game. But you're on campus with Eli Manning.
Yeah.
The recruitment, watching that come in. What is it like to be the starter with him? Just the presence of the Manning name, kind of on campus.
You know, I tell people it wasn't that big of a deal for me because I think Archie was real supportive. You know, Archie said, you know what, this Romero team, Eli's going to wait his turn. And so I think a lot of people understood that. Now, if Archie would have said, put my son in right now, I would have been a little worried. But I tell people, man, I love Archie and that family to death, man, just for that reason that, you know, he kept the pressure off myself and Eli. So it wasn't a battle whatsoever. You know, I would help him out just like he would help me out.
Did you know watching him that, hey, this is a guy that's going to play in the NFL and probably play for a long time, or did it surprise you that he had the career, that he's having the career that he's having?
I think Eli, as far as arm strength and stuff like that, he improved so much his time here. When he got to Oxford, his freshman year, you know, we was looking like his arm isn't that strong, you know? And being in the weight room and stuff like that, you can just see the jump in it. And he definitely used his red shirt year in his other year just to improve on his game, and he got a lot better.
Was there ever any tension in that relationship? I mean, he wanted to be the quarterback. You were the quarterback, or did he sort of know, hey, I know when my time's coming, and I'm going to develop and learn?
No, there was no conflicts whatsoever. I just think we both – it was pretty much understood. Like I said, his dad was the whole time pretty much saying Eli's going to wait his turn. So I think I knew, he knew, coach knew. So it wasn't that big of a deal. Like I said, I mean, he helped me out, I helped him out, and it was just a great relationship on and off the field.
We always talk about teams, you know, players don't necessarily like fall camp. There are certain bowl games that fans don't like and everything. So like you said a second ago, you guys lost four games by 15 points or something. Everything was close. You had very high expectations. You end up in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. It's freezing temperatures all week. It's cold up there. West Virginia is somewhat motivated. I think it was Neyland's last game or something up there. So did you – I mean, in all honesty, did y'all even want to be there at that point?
You know, Chase, I think, you know, looking back over it, I feel like we was more in tune – the previous bowl games. And I tell people, bowl games, they now, like, you can almost tell what team is going to win based on what team want to be there, what team don't want to be there. I think we wanted to be there, but I don't think we was mentally tuned in like we needed to be to win that bowl game. And they came out, and I don't even know if they went to a bowl game a year before, but if you catch a team that hadn't been to a bowl game in a couple of years, and you catch a team that had been to a couple of them, back to back to back, one team going to play real charged up, and other team is going to play kind of low. And I think we came out, we just didn't have the fire, and they brought it to us.
It's the easiest money you can make.
Yep.
Betting on bowl games. You know this. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible betting on college games. Yep. And I do really well in the bowl season, because if you'll just slow down and look at the psychology of the teams involved, you can kind of figure out which team's going to play and which team's going to show up.
Are we still adding a certain Big Ten team to Neil's picks this year, or are you kind of lost the taste for that with everything going on?
I mean, look, I'm a fighter, uh-huh. And so I'll figure out a way to get it back.
Okay.
But yes, what's happened at Maryland and what's happened at Ohio State has certainly taken some of the bloodlust out of my okay. taste. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I am curious about this. What's your two? I guess two questions. What's your relationship like with Eli today?
Yep.
And when you watched an Eli Manning win a Super Bowl and be an MVP, did you kind of say to your friends, "Yeah, that dude sat behind me for a couple of years"? I just want to make that part clear.
You know, it's so funny. I go down, like, we'll go down to Cancun here around the corner, and I'm going to be in the pool. And then my wife would tell somebody, he played football at Ole Miss. And then I'm going to come back and say, you know what? I kept the two-time Super Bowl champion on the sideline for 2 years. So that legend, it keeps growing. It's going to keep growing for me.
I know you had some professional aspirations. You had some opportunity. What was that like? When you look back on your post-Ole Miss football career, was there a point where you thought, hey, I got a chance here? Was there a point where you thought, I just don't want to do this anymore, I'm ready to move on with the next chapter of my life?
Neil, I'll tell you, here's when I knew it was over for me. I left and I went to Minnesota for 2 years. And I tell people, the Vikings, they played around with me for 2 years. They played around with me. They cut me, bring me back. And so I left and I go up to Canada. And I'm playing in Canada for 3 years. And in the CFL, if you're a starting quarterback, you make money. But if you're the backup, you do okay. And so after being there 3 years, if your starter is a legit guy, you got to, I hate to say it, but you have to hope for an injury so you can get in to get your shot to play. And it's almost, I'm skipping over now. I'm going to go somewhere else. It's almost like Chad Kelly. Chad's probably is going to be the number two quarterback. And what he need is Chase Keenum to go down and let him get a couple games to start. And he'll be set for the next 15, 20 years. And it's one of those deals where after 3 years being number two and the guy just never faltered, I like, you know what? It's time to give it up. But here's when I knew it was time to give it up. I was playing in Saskatchewan. And, man, it was probably about 20 degrees, and we had three games left in the season. And I remember sitting on that sideline thinking, I hope the number one guy don't get hurt because I don't want to go in. And that right there, they told me, Romero, it's time for you to just give it up.
Yeah.
And so I sat on the team for like two, three more games. The season ended, and I just gave it all up because I was like, you know what, if it's not in my heart, It's time to move on.
We're jumping around a minute. I did a radio show this morning in Memphis, and they asked me, do I think Chad Kelly's going to be a starting quarterback? I won't tell you what my answer is because my football opinion is nowhere near as good as yours. You think Chad Kelly's an NFL quarterback, health, assuming that he stays healthy?
I think Chad's I think if he get that injury, he's going to get a start. And I think he start, that's going to change up his whole career where he will be a starting quarterback. Unless you're a first-round guy, you need a break. And the only thing that he can do is get to that number two spot. And I ain't going to say you want somebody to get injured, but you sure don't want Chase Keenum to play great. And if Keenum
he's not losing sleep if Case Keenum suffers a high ankle sprain and he gets a chance to play. Nah, is that what you're saying?
He's going
to
be like this right here.
Yeah. He doesn't want him to go suffer a catastrophic injury, right. But he wouldn't mind a high ankle sprain.
Right. So, I mean, a high ankle sprain, set him out 3 games. Chad go in and play great. He win the crowd over. It's his job for the rest of the year, going into the offseason, and he's gone.
Get your thoughts on the current Ole Miss team. You saw all the hype around Shea Patterson. It's probably some hype that you could relate to a little bit. It's what your hype would have been if we'd had Twitter and the internet and all that stuff when you were coming out of high school. Why did he struggle, in your opinion? We'll get to his backup, who's now the starter. Why did he struggle so much against good teams the way that he did? He put up massive numbers. Ole Miss people like to pretend like Shea never had any success. Right. Shea had a lot of success against average teams. When he played good teams, he struggled. Why was that, in your opinion?
I think some of the good teams that he played with, I think they were good.
Yeah.
Take his freshman year out. I mean, I don't even count his freshman year. But if you look at some of the games that he played this year, nobody was going to beat Alabama. I'm trying to think who did we play before and after that he lost.
He played poorly against Auburn in the first half.
Yep, Auburn. That was another one. I just think he played against some good teams. But saying that, I think Jordan, he fits this offense better.
Why?
I just think that running aspect. Shea was a different type runner. Shea was a scramble around, back, run around, behind, scramble around everywhere, throw the ball type of guy. Jordan, he's the type, he's going to hit it north and south. And I just think Longo, with his offense making the quarterbacks run, I just think that fit, it opens up the offense a lot better than what Shea did. Not a knock against Shea. I think Shea's going to do great things at Michigan because I think that's a better fit for him. But I think Ole Miss got the best fit for Ole Miss. So I think it was a win-win for both guys.
So what is it for Tomu this season that maybe you didn't see last season? What's next? What needs to improve? Where are you kind of looking at to see how his progression goes?
I think he's going to improve just because he got another year. Just think about all the time in the offseason where he's been watching film and going out with the guys and throwing and catching, and now he know he's the man. So I just think – I tell people last year when Shea got hurt, he won the team over by the way that he played. And going into the season, there are no better feeling as a quarterback when you know your guys will lay it down for you and they truly believe in you. And I just think when last year he won it over, and that confidence is going to instill in him last year, going to help him going into this year also.
We had Todd Wade on the show last week, got you this week, two guys that are former very talented players, have been very opinionated in a good way about the program and everything that's going on in the few years. Where do you see this program right now for Ole Miss?
I'm like everybody else. I'm just glad that the whole NCAA deal is behind us. I'm like everybody else. I think it was a lot of BS, but hey, it is what it is. We made mistakes. So I will say that. But I'm just glad it's over. We can move forward. I'm bracing myself because I know the next 2 years they're going to be tough. But I feel like I tell people, even about Matt, I know how much I love Ole Miss, and I know how much you guys love Ole Miss. So just imagine if you were the head coach, how much you would work to fix it. And so I tell people, look, if he don't succeed, it's not going to be because he's not trying. Because if I'm the head coach, I'm giving it everything that I got, and I know everybody in here would give it everything they have also. So I know he's trying, and that's the that would make me feel good about him being the guy.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Knowing Matt the way that I do and having had some conversations with him, if it doesn't work out, it won't be for a lack of effort. At the end of every Saturday, his tank will be completely empty. I mean, he's just now kind of getting his voice back.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he's a guy that he coaches as hard as you'll see anybody coach. I mean, he's still learning how to coach. He's still learning how to conserve energy on and how to, you know, what's the word? Kind of regulate himself, put a governor on it at times. But he's a guy who's going to give it everything. I mean, he's going to be 1,000% committed.
Guest, join our podcast on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans has a complete selection of pecans, goodies, jellies, coffee cakes. We tell you about the cinnamon spice pecans all the time. The toasted pecans are awesome. All sorts of chocolate pecans, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier, the cheese crispers, cheese crispies, I should say, the coffee cakes. Everything's great at Billy's Pecans, whether you're getting ready for a high school tailgate, getting ready for a college tailgate, getting ready to make a road trip to Houston or wherever. Billy's Pecans is a great option. You'll be thrilled that you have some Billy's Pecans with you on your tailgate, on your trip. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. Whether you're coming up for one game this fall or all the games this fall or anything in between, whether your tailgate is intricate or really very simple, 7 South can take care of you. 7SouthTailgating.com. If you're in the Birmingham area and you're in the real estate market, perhaps get in touch with Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So please visit her website at MeganMPhillips.com. That's MeganMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. And this podcast is brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons to press, no 5-minute wait. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
What are you looking for when you get to your seat on Saturdays this year?
I think we're going to score with anybody. That's the one thing that I do know. I think we're going to put a lot of points on the board. Defensively, we need improvement, especially from the linebackers. We need some of the younger guys to step up immediately from what we saw last year. So we got a new linebacker coach in this year, and hopefully the guy that was on the team this year picks up and improves, and the new guys that we have, they come in ready to go.
You mentioned that. I mean, Ole Miss has been really high so far on Kevontae Ruggs, a linebacker. Jonathan Hess has gotten some plans. How do you balance that, in your opinion, from right now versus future to how you play those guys depending on how ready they are versus where, you know, a lot of times a redshirt year versus a fifth year and different things, you should have to kind of balance what's the most important thing for them.
Somebody told me last night that Ruggs, they made the comment that Ruggs are our best linebacker, and I said, I'm worried. Just because he may be great, but to come in and be the impact player that we need as a true freshman, I can't remember the last true freshman in the SEC at linebacker that has started and led a team in tackles. And we need that impact. So that's why I say the guys that's on the team, we need those guys to step up. I don't know all the names, but a new coach, hopefully he can reach these guys, get the light on in their head, and they step the game up a lot.
We've got a winner of the Blue Delta gift certificate, $200 gift certificate to Blue Delta Jeans. Blue Delta Jeans are right here in Oxford. They're incredible. They've been all over the place. They've been in Jamaica with Coach Cal, the Calipari, right. the Kentucky coach. They were in Wisconsin earlier this week with some of your golf friends.
Yeah.
They're kind of everywhere. They were in Philadelphia with Jake Arrieta.
They were. Arrieta has like 47 pair.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I kind of miss him. Anyway, the winner is... Yeah, I am too. Because Yu Darvish hasn't kind of worked out. The winner is Teddy Mullins. Teddy wins a $200 gift certificate on his birthday to Blue Delta
Jeans. They've got a new fabric they've introduced. The Postman Blue I saw this week. The fabric that they put out. Yeah, kind of eyed it a little bit.
I eyed it a little bit too.
Yeah. So that's there. But again, BlueDeltaJeans.com. You can build. You can design your own jeans there with a Blue Delta.
The trivia question was, what quarterback since Archie Manning have led Ole Miss to 3 straight bowl games? There's only 2 people.
Who was it, Romero?
One is sitting at this table, and it's not Chase or me.
Romero and Eli.
No, Eli didn't. He didn't go in 01.
No.
They went 7-4 and did not make a bowl game in 2001. Alabama lost to Ole Miss, went a game worse on record, and went to the bowl game.
It's Romero Miller and Bo Wallace. How about that?
You've got one up on Eli you haven't even used over the last 2 decades. What's up?
I keep thinking Bo and Juco.
No, Bo was here 3 years, 3 bowl games.
Huh.
He went to the...
Birmingham Bowl, the Music City Bowl, and the Peach Bowl.
That's correct.
Why am I thinking he was the East Mississippi guy?
He actually went to the Birmingham Bowl and the Music City Bowl, and he was there in spirit for the Peach Bowl. And I used the word spirit intentionally. There was a lot of spirits. The night before that.
That was not exactly the best effort we've seen over the course of a week there. But
it's hard to beat a team drunk. You can do a podcast drunk. Trust me. It's hard to beat a football team drunk.
TCU was a little more motivated that week.
They were a little more sober. And motivated, but sober. Mostly sober.
You know, going seriously for a second, that game, I'll remember nothing other than that game, other than Laramie getting hurt and then the TCU media, for some reason, being very excited when that game was over.
All I remember about that game was Pat Forty and Pat Forty's tweets about, you got to get Bo Wallace out of there. And so I just decided, as I'm sitting there watching it, I tweeted back at him and I said, and put in who? Who are you putting in? And he had no answer. He said,
"Well, he said, mind your beat. It was exactly on your beat.
And I said, that's exactly what I'm doing. If you take Bo Wallace out in the second quarter of this game, who the hell are you putting in?
Yeah, he called the principal on you.
He did.
He called our boss.
So I got a text from my boss in the third quarter saying, please leave Pat alone. Stop. You're hurting his feelings.
Yeah. That's a true story.
That is fact.
Yeah, that is fact. We had that, and then we had a media bus with multiple TCU interns on it, and Jeffrey was flipping through Tinder.
Yeah.
That is the 2 things I remember about the Peach Bowl that week for some reason. She was mortified as we were headed to the go-kart track,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are the winners, yeah. Romero Miller and Bo Wallace. What was the...
That was a good hospitality room in the hotel, though.
What was the best bowl game, Romero?
Probably beating Oklahoma.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Independence Bowl, yeah, because Oklahoma was a national power. And just to be able to go in and knock them off, that was the best one.
Binkley's kick there at the end. Our buddy Ben Craddock holding the ball, if I remember correctly, for that game.
Yep, ringing in New Year on a bus.
What's it like after that game? Yeah, I mean, that's what's bad.
We was excited, but we wanted to get back to the hotel before 12 o'clock hit.
Really?
Yeah, and we made it back.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we was on a bus.
That game ended, really?
Yep.
You must have gotten out of there quick.
That game ended at like 11:40.
Oh, you know what? You know why I'm confused? When that I was in Tempe, Arizona that night because I was covering the Fiesta Bowl. No, I'm just saying I was on a different time. So you're right. When that game,
it might not. Either bus.
Well, that
or
wouldn't help. Bus. You're an hour behind them if you're in Tempe.
Either, either bus or locker room. It was somewhere you don't want to be at 12 o'clock.
Well, that's fair.
I was at a hotel near Mill Street in Tempe.
Yeah, I've been there.
And you could hear, remember the artist Sugar Ray?
Sure.
He was playing. You could hear him, but we had to come back because Laura was basically passed out drunk. And so I was still awake.
She's not listening to the podcast, she's not listening. So you're fine.
And she wasn't basically passed out drunk. She was passed out drunk. And we weren't. I turned on the Ole Miss Oklahoma game.
Who was the Fiesta Bowl?
It was Tennessee and Nebraska. I was doing a big T. Martin story. It was T.'s last college game.
What do you remember from the? I know obviously it was not your game. What do you remember though from the Music City Bowl? Is the teams kind of getting back into things, and that's really kind of the start of you guys' path.
Man, that was the Music City Bowl. The one thing that I remember, that was the coldest football game I ever played in my life. Like
it was at a dome, wasn't it? Or was it open?
Oh, the Music City's in Nashville.
Motor City.
Oh, the Motor City.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, the Music City was freezing. That's what I was asking you earlier. You couldn't have wanted to be there.
It was cold.
You can admit it.
Yeah, it was cold. Let me say that. It was cold. But you talking about the Motor City Bowl?
Yeah.
The Motor City Bowl, I remember that because...
Chad Pennington, Randy Moss.
I remember that Randy Moss play because we gave Malika a hard time afterwards. And I remember Deuce going over the top because it was kind of his coming out party.
Yeah.
So those were the two plays that that really stood out those games.
What's the one play you want back from your college career?
Alabama, my 98, my sophomore year, overtime.
That was when they missed like two extra points and like a 20-yard field goal. Ole Miss had no kicker and it was rough.
We went to overtime. I tried to force the ball to Rufus French and learned don't force the ball.
I hate to do this. Who was the kicker? What was the guy's name? You don't even remember, do you?
You're making me think.
Okay.
If you give me a second, don't put me on the spot.
I do remember in the press conference, though, seriously, Tuberville said we'll have another kicker next week. Tuberville told the media that he would not be the guy the next week. I don't remember.
Tommy Tuberville was never one to accept a loss on his own. It was always somebody else's fault.
I mean, you didn't talk to him when he came in to do the hottie toddy last year? I mean, big time moment in the season.
I'm okay with that. I couldn't believe he did the hottie toddy anyway, but.
Another story for another day. You were probably in the stands. What went through your head when you saw it?
I didn't know what he was doing. I saw him on a jumbotron.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But I didn't hear. I couldn't hear.
Well, you had to know what he was doing.
I couldn't hear what he was saying. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
And I just looked up and I saw him and I'm like, what? But then I heard somebody else say it and I think I had a reaction, jumped on Twitter and said, how can we put him on a jumbotron? And you know how that go.
It seems like Ole Miss is kind of coming back to a lot of former players and kind of making more of an effort, though, to present you guys with the program and honor the history that's not just the history that we always talk about with the John Vaught, the Billy Brewer, different things, but really kind of the modern guys that that transitioned this thing after probation.
Yeah, I think they – Rick Common – we're not there yet, but we're coming. I think there was a gap a couple of years where, not myself because I'm back all the time, I just feel like the ball was dropped, let me say that. And now I feel like they doing what we should have been doing for the whole time anyway. But
who are some guys? You said Rufus French, and I agree with you. You're not going to agree with me, but I'm right. You can be modest. Besides Rufus and you, who are some guys that maybe haven't been – given the respect that they deserve to be given now that we've moved into this era?
Yeah, you put me on the spot.
Yep. That's what I do.
I can't think off the top of my head. I can tell you for some reason, I don't know why, some guys that I haven't seen back. I've never seen Kedrie Vincent back. He played with me. I know that's one. Oh, Kedrie Vincent, that's one. Let me come back to that one. Let me think a little bit.
Well, I mean, it was a pretty important player there for a while. I mean, Joe hadn't been back. I'm just thinking of even some of the Amory guys and everything. I hadn't seen Gunn in years.
Right. And like I said, I feel like the ball was dropped. And now if you don't reach out or they're not welcome, sooner or later they're going to find something else to do. And I just think a lot of guys in my era, the ball was dropped. And how do you get them back? That's what somebody need to figure out.
You talked to Ken Lucas a good bit. He's got some opinions about him now once or twice.
Well, you got Ken had went a while not coming back. And I ain't gonna say I begged him, but I finally got Ken to come back. And he loved it. And I will say the reason Ken didn't come back because of some stuff with Cutcliffe. You know, we all have our issues with certain coaches, how to go. But that was his issue where he went 10, 12 years, didn't come back. He finally came back. Now he feels like he's back at home. He love it.
But time kind of heals a lot of those wounds, right?
Time.
When David Cutcliffe finishes his career at Duke, Ole Miss needs to bring him back and recognize him.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But like I said, some guys hold grudges a lot longer than some. Let me say that.
Time solves a lot of that stuff, though. It's just my opinion.
I mean, obviously, it's easy to pick up here. You have no relationship with Tommy at this point. Probably have some different feelings. But where do you kind of stand on him from a legacy standpoint? Because he leaves, and that's what everybody remembers. But at the same time, he was the guy to kind of help get the facilities moved. He was the guy to help with the Confederate flags, different things. How do you see the Tommy Tuberville legacy this many years later?
I think Tubb did a lot of great things for Ole Miss. Man, if he wouldn't have been here, who knows where we would be, you know, right now. Everybody remembered the way he left, and I remember that too. But I do appreciate the things that he got accomplished while he was here. I'm still not going to talk to him, but I appreciate some of the things that he did.
So if he calls you up tomorrow, you're not interested?
I'll pass, unless he wants some insurance.
What kind of do you expect out of this football team? We talk about the defense, that kind of thing. You watch a lot of football. You see other teams. Can the defense be a defense that was as bad as Ole Miss's was last year? And there's no point beating around the bush. They could not get off the field. They couldn't stop the run. Can a defense improve that much in 1 year to make a noticeable difference?
I think we're going to score a lot of points. And I know we need some guys to step up majorly that was on the team last year to step up, or some of these freshmen to step up. I think defensive line, I think we're okay. We're not the top group in the league, but, you know, you can win some game with those guys. I feel the same way about the secondary. The one thing that I just don't know is the linebackers, and that's based on what I saw last year.
As a quarterback going against a defense like that, if you know that linebackers are that inexperienced, physically limited, that kind of thing, is that something as a quarterback that you can look at that and go, we're going to pick on that all day long?
Oh, without a doubt. Going into the season, that's going to be every coach that we play against game plan. You know, we're going to make these guys run east and west. And crap, when you play against Alabama, we're going to go east and west, and our big backs going to try to run over them. So that's something that hopefully Coach Jackson and the new linebacker coach can get some of this solved.
Kind of as we wrap up here, we've seen you wearing some of the shark gear and stuff. You've tweeted about it. You've ruined some of Chase's days.
Yeah.
What did you think of the whole land shark thing? What do you think of some of the new insignias, that kind of thing?
I think that the mascot, the shark, it got to wear on me. It's a new mascot. I thought it was going to be one of the fluffy dogs that, you know, from all the other
we
schools.
Did too.
Yeah,
I was for it.
And so it's kind of new. Now, I got one of the shirts. I like the shirts. The M, I think people are going to have mixed emotions about the M. But my thought process is just me. I Googled schools with M logo the other day. And, man, I got about a million schools with M. And so when
the block
I,
M.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Maryland. M.
And so I told somebody, like, not now, but 2 years from now, 3 years from now, walking through the airport, people are going to know that M means something. You know, right now, if you have an Ole Miss M, you go to the airport – They think you Maryland. They think you all these other schools. So it's something new. And I don't wear hats, but, I mean, it was cool to me.
They'll give you as many as you want. I have a feeling, so it's all good.
All right, I'm going to tell them I need some more.
All right. Appreciate it, Ro. Romero Miller, everybody. We'll wrap up and be back next week again. A lot of specials here all during football season as we go on. Podcasts will be loaded up to all the places that you listen for Friday morning. And see you again next week. Thanks, Ro.